Okay, so perhaps nothing is more emblematic of our digital age than the text message abbreviation, right? You know, LOL, BRB, WTF. Well, actually, if you ask language writer Alan Metcalf of the American Dialect Society, that kind of thing is so 1830s.
For some reason, the Boston newspapers, and some in other places, but especially the Boston newspapers, thought it was just hilarious to have abbreviations.
For all sorts of things. Sometimes they were on-the-nose abbreviations for funny little phrases.
OFM, our first men. ABRS, the anti-bell ringing society.
Other times they were abbreviations of deliberate misspellings for comic effect.
OW for all right.
Amidst this abbreviation fad, on March 23, 1839, came a humorous article on the second page of the Boston Morning Post, where writer and editor Charles Gordon Green abbreviated the phrase all correct with two letters, OK.
And of course, readers were expected to join in the humorous notion or acknowledgement that OK doesn't, it's an abbreviation for all correct that is not correct, since all does not begin with O, and correct does not begin with K.
It was a little bit of wordplay that would take the world by storm.
It happened because of newspapers. And one of the things that newspapers would do, they picked up things from other newspapers. And that spread throughout the country quickly enough, thanks to the newspaper exchange.
The term also got a surge in exposure during the 1840 presidential election, when Martin Van Buren, also known as Old Kinderhook, incorporated it in his campaign slogan, Old Kinderhook is OK.
Then they had OK clubs supporting Van Buren, and soon in the 1840s, OK spread all over.
Now, there are plenty of alternative origin theories, that it comes from a Greek phrase, ola kala, meaning all good, or a Choctaw Indian word spelled O-K-E-H, meaning it is so. But Metcalf says that while some of those are compelling, there's simply no hard evidence to support any of them.
Of course, it's very hard to prove a negative. If somebody says, well, I'm sure there was something there, and as you say, they could say, well, I'm sure they were speaking it, but there isn't even the slightest hint.
As the 20th century dawned, the word continued to surge and morph. People began spelling it O-K-A-Y to make it more word-like, creating superlatives like A-O-K, and variations like okie-dokie, M-K, and the text-friendly K. Today, O-K is regularly cited by linguists and writers as the world's single most recognized word.
If you're talking with somebody and you don't know that person's language, if that person knows O-K, which is rather likely, you can usually get a whole message across with nothing but OK with various inflections of your voice and various gestures.
Metcalf is so enamored with this little expression that could that not only has he written an entire book about it, but he's dubbed it America's greatest word, in part because he believes those two simple letters are an elegant expression of who we are.
If something's OK for Americans, well, then it's working. You've succeeded with it. You can, of course, refine it. But it's good enough. OK allows you to say something positive for something that is less than perfect. And I'm not a philosopher, but I argue that that's the American philosophy in two letters.
And what better birthplace for America's greatest word than right here in Boston, 176 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR. Alan, I really appreciate you chatting with me. I'll write it all up and everything, and I'll make sure to send you a link to it.
Okay, that'll be great.